JD, Andrew, and Bud are on a bus in Texas. They're on the hotline.
Well, they're rolling into Kansas City, the legendary Boxmasters. Now we're talking about today we're talking about 2007, 2008 when we first heard of from the Boxmasters, and it's, you know, it's interesting because people go, what does it sound like? Well, it's a little psychobilly country, little Beatles, little. I mean, it's the Boxmasters. Ultimately, that's it. Like, they Boxmasters. They sound like the Boxmasters, man. Like this.
Hailing from Bellflower, California, our next guests are the founding members of the genre-bending band, the Boxmasters. They released their latest album, Love and Hate, in Desperate Places this past Friday. And this Saturday night, they bring their Love and Hate tour to one of their favorite venues in the country, Knuckleheads. Please welcome Boxmasters founders J.D. Andrew and Billy Bob Thornton.
J.D., how have you been, brother?
I'm great, Johnny.
Dude.
Thanks for having us. Even listen, though, you know, for us, this is like waking up.
It's terrible.
4 a.m, I guess.
It's
when
terrible.
You wake up.
It's 4 a.m. It's terrible. It's a miserable thing we do to you guys. I know it's horrible, and I feel bad every time. Listen, I've been doing this show for 30 years, and I still hate it. When my alarm clock goes off, I'm angry. I'm instantly angry. And I get it, man, and I always appreciate you guys. But honestly, I love you, and I want people to know the Boxmasters are playing at Knuckleheads. Knuckleheads is a goddamn Kansas City treasure. You guys are a perfect fit. It is one of those shows that is absolutely magical when it happens. Last time I'm there, I'm sitting in the caboose, having a drink, watching the Boxmasters, having a great time. And Ron White sits down next to me. And I mean, I don't even know he's in town. He goes, mouth hug, how you been? Try my tequila. And he took my girlfriend and went out dancing and was gone. And she and they were gone. Like, oh, it's just one of those moments in life when you get to see your band that it's just fun, man. It always is.
That's how it is for us on stage.
Yeah.
It's you know, just one of our favorite places. There's so much energy there. And, you know, we can't get enough of it. And so this year, we are making a documentary about the band, and one of the places we chose that we had to film the concert was Knucklehead. And so we'll have a couple camera guys running around, and it'll be an extra special night.
Oh, dude, listen, how does it go wrong? I mean, this is going to be fantastic. It's a Saturday night. It's Knuckleheads, Kansas City, the Boxmasters. And you guys got this together. You'd sat in as a – you were engineering, right? And that's how you and William Robert met.
Yeah, correct.
And
it was supposed to be 2 weeks, and you know, now we're at our 18th year. You know, 17 records out. You know, each one's a bit different than the next. You know, this one, Love and Hate, is the one we call our rock record. Kirk, who is our live guitarist, and Raymond, our live bass player, joined us in the studio, and we all made the record together. And so it's just a little more like how we sound live.
Yeah, well, listen, that's what you guys do. You tour. And I was just talking about this before you came on, is the Boxmasters sound like the Boxmasters. It's a distinctive and very clear sound that's been developed over the years. But I think that's maybe the highest compliment you can give any band, is when you hear a band, you go, that's the Boxmasters. That's Creedence. That's AC/DC. That's
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we grew up, you know, bands wanted to sound like themselves. You know, they weren't trying to chase a trend of, you know, sounding like the next band. Everybody wanted to be different, and we've always followed that.
And so you guys, I know you and Bud wrote all the records, and the new one, Love and Hate in Desperate Places. So I rolled down to Rocklahoma Music Festival, and I had a chance to spend some time in the car with it. But stuff like Gene Mansfield's Car, or I Don't Want You Anymore, Fire Ring Falcons. I mean, it's, you know, lyrically, you guys, that's the other thing, spend a lot of time thinking about this. It's tongue in cheek. It's dark. It's funny. It's life. It's hurt. But it's always there. You guys always. It's not a throwaway lyric.
Yeah. Fun thing about the Firing Falcons is that song started because my 8-year-old got a recorder at school and immediately started a band with a couple of buddies, and so they wrote this song for their band, the Firing Falcons. And I sent Billy a picture of the lyric that they had written, and he turned it into a song using some of those lyrics. And so, you know, one of my sons has a credit on the record because he helped write that song.
That's great, man. Dude, that's exactly what it's like. By the way, God bless you for enduring the recorder. I was a recorder player, and my poor parents. Dude, how many times can you listen to a terrible, squelching version of Hot Cross Buns before you murder yourself?
Oh, exactly.
that's just a mean thing to do to people, man, is give kids recorders because it's just a giant flute. And the harder you blow, the worse it squeals. I learned that very early on. That's
Yeah, absolutely. That's the truth about Hot Cross Buns. It's the only song they ever play.
To this day, I could pick one up and whip its ass right in front of you.
Nice.
I tell you, man, I'm looking forward to this Saturday night, man, and I appreciate you guys getting up. Is Bud around?
Yeah, here he is.
Hey, JD. Good to talk to you.
Hey there, Johnny Bear.
How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. How's everything going?
I know you were sound asleep like 10 minutes ago, man, and I appreciate you so much, man, for getting up. I know it's awful.
No sweat. Oh, no, I haven't gone to bed yet.
Good man. Listen, you guys are down in Texas headed for Kansas City. You're shooting some film, and you guys are going to shooting a documentary for the Boxmasters this Saturday night. I was just talking to JD, and man, what a great place. I think Knuckleheads visually, I've said this to people before, like, you couldn't build a movie set and make it look this realistic.
I totally agree with that. Yeah it's literally our favorite place to play. We've been playing there, as you know, every year for years and years. And Frank over there is just such a wonderful guy. And we know everybody there. We know a lot of the audience. And when the documentary film crew, they've been wanting to make a documentary on us for several years, and it finally worked out this year. And they said, we're going to follow you guys around on tour. They were at our rehearsals, and they came to the studio out there in L.A., and so we've been shooting, but they wanted to shoot two of our shows as a Righteous concert with several cameras and capture the whole show. And they said, where would you like to do it? And we said, well, let's do Knuckleheads for sure. And the other one we're doing is at a theater in Ocala, Florida.
Perfect.
And I think it's pretty awesome we're doing it at Knuckleheads, since that's kind of our people, you know. And so I hope everybody comes out and, helps us and all be in the documentary.
Dude, it's a special night with the Boxmasters. I was talking to JD about the fact that you guys have, somebody was asking me, what are they like? And I go, well, it's sometimes I hear Beatles, sometimes Psychobilly, sometimes I hear Hank, sometimes, I hear Creedence. And I go, but most of all, I go, dude, it's like someone goes, what's this whiskey? I don't have the right description. It tastes like whiskey. The Boxmasters sound like the Boxmasters. Like it's what you do. I mean, from the first record to now, it's a journey, but I can always tell, and I can tell lyrically, as soon as I picked up the new album, Love and Hate in Desperate Places, I start looking at titles, and I'm like, I don't want you anymore. I know I want to hear that. I want to hear Jane Mansfield's Car, and I'm listening to that first track, and I realize, and I may get it completely wrong, but that's the beauty of lyrics. But to me, it was instantly available. I was like, man, it's our love of viewing the TikTok disasters. We like to look into a terrible tragedy, and we'll pay to get close to that Jane Mansfield car.
Yes, that's exactly right. And that's what the song is about. It's about people's weird fascination with other people's suffering. It's a strange thing that's built into human nature.
Yeah. And we've always, it's why we loved Evel Knievel too, right? Was he going to crash? Why do we go to stock car races?
Absolutely. Same deal. Yeah.
But that's, lyrically, that's the other thing I love about it. It's, from the very first record, laughing at stuff like It Only Hurts When I Pee or You Creep Me Out, which is still in my, dude, You Creep Me Out is in my playlist every time on motorcycle rides. Every time.
I love it.
It's just great stuff. But lyrically, man, you take a lot of time to find the human reaction. It's dark, it's funny, but it's always well thought out with a good phrase, man. And that's what I loved about country originally when I was a kid. Every song had a meaning or a great turned phrase or a special switch in the middle that you didn't see coming. And we were talking the other day, George Jones, "He Stopped Loving Her Today," when I was a kid, broke me down and made me cry in my parents' car because I didn't realize he was dead until halfway through the record. I'm 9 years old getting this heavy life lesson, and it literally broke me down emotionally.
Yeah, that was the thing. You know, we're a rock and roll bordering on punk band, but we still appreciate country music, so we listen to it sometimes. And when we do, we listen to the old guys, you know, Cash and George Jones and Merle Haggard and those guys. And some of those songs were absolutely heartbreaking, and that one there, "He Stopped Loving Her Today," which I think is that and Merle Haggard's "If We Make It Through December,"
yep,
are two of the saddest songs ever written. And I had heard a story by a lot of guys at Nashville where they said that George Jones didn't want to do "He Stopped Loving Her Today," that Billy Sherrill, the producer, brought it to him, the demo, and he played it for him. And George Jones said, "Well, Billy, why would anybody want to listen to that depressing son of a bitch?"
I've heard the same thing. And you realize, and by the way, you're right about the punk rock thing. It does touch on that because, I got to see Lee Ving and Fear for the first time last year. And it was like, you talk about another emotional moment. I grew up, my father finding those records and destroying them, watching those old SNL tapes with Belushi and them getting thrown off the show. And loving everything. And, man, that's the other thing, right? That tongue-in-cheek, F you, finger, but we're all still laughing and having a good time. Let's not take it too seriously, punk rock vibe.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
sure. You grew up, you know, if you're just joining the show, the Boxmasters are with us. William Robert Thornton, sometimes known as Billy. And, of course, JD, your longtime partner in crime. When you were growing up, though, you were roadie. You wanted to be part of the circus. You were out with Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. You were Johnny Paycheck. You were out. You ran away with the circus.
Yeah, I did. I ran away with the circus. That's true. It's funny because, you know, as a kid, I was just in bands. But then I got this, kind of fell into this opportunity to be a roadie. I couldn't wait to do it. And back in those days, roadies weren't on the bus, and it wasn't as luxurious as now. You know, we were driving trucks and breaking down equipment and hauling stuff. We didn't get paid much. And we ate when we could. And we loved every minute of
it. That's right. That's right. And I can't explain it. I still love it. I have friends with production companies. And I have friends and bands, and whether I ride on a tour bus or I move equipment or load a trailer, for some reason, it's exciting to me to be part of the circus still.
Yeah, for sure.
And I don't know why the romanticism of town to town, the overnight, the playing your heart out. And again, roadies especially, that's the important part to know, is you're not the fame and the fortune guy. You're not the one getting laid. And if you are, it's horrifying.
Yeah.
But yet, wouldn't you find yourself still drawn to it, even if you weren't the front?
Oh, yeah. But that's the thing. Just to be involved in it is amazing. You know, you grow up, and then you become the stars of a band, like JD and I.
Right.
That's awesome, too. But we all look at it as the same thing. In other words, you know, our crew feels exactly as important as we are in the band, in the organization. That's the way we try to make everybody feel.
No, and it's real. And then by the way, do you use the same guys every time? Do you have your old school crew? Like a lot of the old British bands used to do that, where their crew was their crew, and that's just the way it was. And sometimes in this new world, It's just a revolving change of whoever company you hired. But I feel like you guys may have the same guys every time.
Yeah, we try to. And for the most part, it all is, the band and the crew. We have a couple of new guys who are, we call them the kids, you know, because they're around 30 years old.
Right.
But they're the newest guys. But that's only because of availability. You know, we've had other guys. Well, first of all, our guitar tech, Jacob, this great kid out of Florida, the reason he became the guitar tech is because our old guitar tech, Raymond Hardy, is now our bass player.
Perfect.
So we had to get somebody to replace him. And because our old bass player, because of a family situation, can't go out of town anymore.
Yeah, you talk about taking a gig with a chance to move upward. I'm like, hold on, you started out as the bass tech, and now you're playing on the stage? That's a pretty good goddamn gig,
yeah.
Billy. That's not too bad.
Oh, absolutely.
Man.
I mean, no, he's awesome. And he's like a brother to us.
Well,
so, yeah, we have the same band every year, and some of the crew, and our tour manager, Tom Mayhew, has been working with us on and off since the early 2000s.
You know...
Yeah,
and I want to interrupt for a second because what you just reminded me of, and it's the only time I've ever seen a big band do it like this was ZZ Top. Also, you know, when Dusty passed, it Elwood became, and he was their longtime bass roadie, tech friend, brother, and he literally just took one step forward from behind the amp to the position. And I always thought, man, the crowd may not know this, but I think it was one of the more beautiful acts in rock and roll. One of the coolest things you could do.
Yeah. I mean, I've known those guys. I've known Gibbons for like 43 years. And I used to, as you and I've talked about before, I would play drums in a ZZ Top tribute act called Les Hombres years.
Yep.
And Gibbons saw us in Houston back then, in like 1980 or 81, somewhere there. And he called us the best little cover band in Texas. but anyway, Elwood has been with him forever, and Pablo, their tour manager. Both of those guys have been with him in excess of 30 years, and... And then when Dusty passed, who was a wonderful friend of ours, then Elwood stepped in, you know, so they kept it in the family.
Yeah, and there's a lot to be said in this world for loyalty, friendship, and brotherhood, and there's not near enough of it, Billy. I'm telling you, like, the longer I run down this road, the more I cherish all those qualities in a human being.
For sure.
Yeah, it's man, I'm excited about it. This Saturday night, Knuckleheads, guys, Boxmasters return. We're going to shoot a documentary, and I'm telling you guys, listening, you never know. If you've never been to Knuckleheads, that's insane because it's a Kansas City treasure. And the idea of seeing the Boxmasters there in that setting, and I've seen some incredible acts there, is going to be, and you never know. Last time I was there, I'm sitting in the caboose with my girl, having a beer and a shot of whiskey. I don't even notice. Someone sits down next to me, and I get nudged, and a bottle gets shoved at me. It's Ron White, the comedian, and he goes, what's up? And there's an old running joke between him and I, and he goes, what's up, mouth hug? And I was like, Jesus Christ, where did you pop in from? And he looked at me, and he said, he goes, does your girl dance? I go, I don't know, ask her. And he says, do you dance? And she said, sure. And he took her, and I didn't see her again for the whole set that was gone.
Right. I don't. Ron's a really great friend, and he was in town in Kansas City doing a comedy set, but he was on early at Knuckleheads. You know, we usually go on at 10 o'clock. So he came out to see us, and he roused the crowd up. He was running around out there with everybody and your girlfriend.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, Knuckleheads is one of, out of everywhere we play, it's our favorite place, and we don't just say that, you know. We mean it, and we've been playing there every year for so many years, and we've become kind of one of the, you know, knucklehead favorites. Yeah, we always come to Kansas City and feel like the Beatles. So
it's going to be a great show. Go ahead.
And this year you can be in a documentary. So come on out.
It's going to be great. And I'll tell you, Frank, and I can't say enough about Frank. Frank's one of those guys you'll never meet again. He's one of a kind. And, you know, I told you this, Billy, before it became Knuckleheads years ago, we used to go buy some very questionable motorcycle parts out of that place. It was called Fog. And I was like, hey, man, this is all good, right? And they're like, just take it and put it on the bike and don't worry about what we're selling. You can say, oh, fine. And, you know, it was a roadhouse before that. And there used to be an old lady who lived in that apartment that Frank took care of. And he is just one of those guys, I will tell you, that throughout my career, you just don't meet many like him. He's the real deal. He loves music. He really runs that place special, and he's not part of the big, the corporate nightmare of music promoting. He does it from his position, and that is his world. It is a Kansas City treasure, no doubt about it.
It certainly is. We love that guy.
Well, listen.
And all of them, the whole staff, we know all of them.
Yep.
Billy and Chrissy and all of them. It's like going home every time we play there.
Saturday night, Knuckleheads, a new record. Love and Hate in Desperate Places, the Boxmasters return. It's come be part of the documentary. Come be part of history. And above all, come dance and have a good time. Smile a little bit. Sweat. Drink some whiskey and some beer and get a little energy out. It's a good time, man. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys.
Well, we can't wait to see you, Johnny.
I appreciate you, brother. Tell JD I appreciate him getting up very, very much, and I'll see you very soon, bud.
You got it.
Take care,
man. Buddy.
The great band, the Boxmasters. Good dudes, man. Listen to me.